Well, I was all right before I started singing. Sounds like it might be a short message, eh? Oh, yeah, amen. Yeah, I was waiting for that, yeah. Yeah. Never let me down, Andy. I want to draw this talk this morning about drawing nearer to God and how important it is that our relationship with God is a close relationship, because He actually wants to give us more than we want to receive sometimes. He wants to give us everything we need. He wants to be in a place where He sustains us, where He helps us, where He changes and transforms us. But we've got to be in this relationship with Him where we are drawing close to Him. And we sang this morning some amazing songs, as we always do. And occasionally we'll pick out some words. And the ones that I've picked out is, "Change this heart into your home." That sounds like quite a close relationship. Make this place in me. Make this, my heart, the place where you live. That's what God wants to do. And Father, we are crying out to you. It's like a passion. It's a desire that we can have, that we're crying out to God, that He gives us everything we need, that we want to be in this relationship with Him, that we want to serve Him, that we want to be obedient to Him. Father, we are crying out to you this morning. Come and be part of my life. Do what you want to do in my heart. And that's what I want to talk about this morning, because God is always trying to do so much in us. And yet, at times, we can be distant from God. And what I want to talk about is how we assess that for ourselves, because it's really important that we come to grips with this. There are times in our lives where we feel a million miles away from God. We feel that God isn't close. We feel that He has abandoned us, but I'll talk about that in a little while. And we can feel unresponsive to God. And it's how we put things in place so we can draw near to Him. One of the things that I used to do at work when I worked secularly is I used to have to go through an annual review where I was assessed. I don't know whether you go through that at work or you've experienced that, where annually you are assessed. Are you doing your job right? Is there things that you could be doing better? Are you excelling in some areas of your work? And it's like a check on our behaviours and our attitudes and our work abilities. But that's an external check, isn't it? And one of the things that I believe that we've got to get our heads round a little bit is doing have you ever done self-assessment? Who does self-assessment for tax records? I do, yeah. You've got to be honest, haven't you? Otherwise, you get somebody knocking on your door. It's when you're assessing your finances. You've got to assess all your income, all your expenditure, and you've got to let the tax man know. And it's called self-assessment. It's what you do if you are self-employed. And it's an important part of our government taking all our money off us, unfortunately. We're also, if you remember a couple of years ago, we went through a health check at church. We did some self-assessing about where we are as a church. We check the systems that we have, the processes that are in place, how we're doing things well and the things that we could do better. So self-assessment, really, looking at ourselves in relation to expectation, is always part of our lives. And sometimes when we look at ourselves, when we make this more personal and we start examining ourselves, we can be surprised at what we've done well. You know, when we start examining it, oh, I did that, that was really good. That was really well done. And sometimes what we tend to do is identify areas where we haven't done so well. But honesty in the self-assessment is also really important, because we can be very dishonest with ourselves. It says in the Word of God that the heart above all things is most deceitful. In other words, we can make it up. Am I doing all right? Yeah, I'm doing great. I understand all that God's doing, but really the reality is that we can be drifting away from God. So I want to talk a little bit about that this morning. The Old Testament is a great example of what God is trying to work in our lives and how He does it and how we can restrict what He does. So all the time in the Old Testament, we see this cycle of the children of Israel being obedient to God, and periods where they weren't obedient, they were disobedient, they fell away from following God's laws. And the children were going through this time and time again. It's that cycle of God being able to bless them, and then God, times when God was a long way from them, they would forget all about God because they wanted to do it their own way. And in reality, their disobedience, in other words, their lack of following the instructions that God had given to them, meant that God couldn't bless them. He couldn't be part of their daily living. He couldn't pour out his love and his purposes into the nation because they were being disobedient. And God's nature is all about keeping relationship. That's what he wants to do. He wants to maintain this relationship with us. And all the time in the Old Testament, he was always looking for ways to reconnect with the children of Israel. His prophets would bring words, wouldn't they, to the nation of Israel, going, you've got it wrong again. We've got to be obedient to God. And then God will begin to bless us again as a nation. And I want us to understand the heart of God, because it's really important that even as believers, that we understand that God is always trying to keep our relationship very close. He's always trying to do things in our lives that benefit us, that transform us, that deal with the stuff that we find difficult to deal with, that brings blessing on our lives. That's the relationship that God is looking for. And he's always seeking to maintain that relationship. And I just want to read from... Oh, I didn't give you these, did I? That wasn't... What is that? Wing it, did you say? I'll read these out. I'm sorry about that. I completely forgot. This is Zechariah chapter 1. And this, what I want us to catch here is the heart of God, okay? The heart of God, what he's trying to do, how he's trying to connect all the time. Therefore, tell the people, this is what the Lord Almighty says. Return to me, declares the Lord Almighty, and I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty. Do not be like your ancestors to whom the early prophets proclaimed. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Turn from your evil ways and your evil practices, but they would not listen or pay attention to me, declares the Lord. So God is trying to connect. He's trying to connect. He's going to tell the people that they've got to be obedient, to put away the things that are separating us and begin to focus on being obedient to me. Don't do what your ancestors did, because that separated me, that is God, from the people. Malachi. Ever since the time of your ancestors, you have turned away from my decrees and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty. But you ask, how are we to return? We'll look a little bit about that later on, how we return when we feel this distance between ourselves and God. But God is going, return to me, and I will return to you. And Haggai. Now this is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. You have planted much, but harvested little. You eat, but never have enough. You drink, but never have your fill. You put on clothes, but are not warm. You earn wages, only to put them in a purse with holes in it. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. Now, it's quite an interesting passage in Haggai that the children of Israel were tasked in building the house of the Lord. It had been destroyed, and they were kind of not focusing on that. They were focusing on themselves. They were doing the things that the world would direct them to do. They were making money for themselves, but it didn't seem to get them anywhere. You've planted a lot of stuff, but you're not reaping much. And the Lord Almighty said, give thought to what you're doing. It's that self-assessment, isn't it? As we look at our lives, just give thought to what you're doing. If you're not experiencing the closeness of God, if you're not experiencing the blessing of God, if you're feeling that distance between you and him, give careful thought to your ways. Have a think about what you're doing. Because then we can begin to get to the root cause, maybe, of what is going wrong in your Christian walk. As we approach Christmas, does that fill your heart with joy? obviously, one at the front, it does, yeah. Some people are full of joy. I got our Christmas tree out of the loft yesterday. I only put it away last week. It feels like that, doesn't it? Well, here we go again. It does, doesn't it, though? I felt I was only putting this away a few days ago, and now it's coming out again. And it's out, and it's all ready to be dressed. But Christmas is coming. And the birth of Christ really demonstrates God's heart towards mankind. He was giving us his ultimate plan for humanity to be connected with himself. The promised birth of his son will be the way for the whole world to have access to all that God is. What an amazing gift it is. And sometimes we lose the focus or the meaning of Christmas because it's just got how it is. But I love the words used when we're talking about Christmas, the birth of Christ. Emmanuel, God with us. That's how God wants to be. He wants to be with us. He doesn't want to be separate from us. He doesn't want to be something that is worshipped from afar. He wants to be with us. He wants to be living in our heart. As we sang, change this heart into your home. He wants to live in us. The word Christ, the anointed one, the chosen one that makes a way. So it's Jesus Christ. Jesus is just an ordinary name. But when we put Christ to it, he becomes the anointed one, the chosen one, the one who is going to lead the world to God. There's only one way to reach God, and that's through Jesus Christ, a Messiah, the Saviour of the world. What amazing, powerful words that we're going to be using over the next few weeks on the cards that we send. Emmanuel, Christ, and Messiah. And that was really reveals the heart of God towards us. He was providing a complete sacrifice for the sin of the world and offering the gift of salvation to those who would believe. What a great time it really is, and we celebrate that together. For us here today, we are told to work out our salvation. It's a personal responsibility that we take hold of this gift and we work it out. We apply the word of God to our heart and our lives. We allow God to become part of our thinking, part of our behaviours. We allow God to have access to our innermost being and begin to sort out some of the stuff that really is hard to deal with. He wants to live in us. And there are times when we allow access and there are times when we don't. But we've got to work all that out. Work out your own salvation. It says with fear and trembling. This is an important thing that we have to do. That's that self-assessment. Work out your own salvation. Assess where you are with God and allow him to begin to minister into your heart. But there are times when we experience separation from God. We've got to be honest about that. And I've experienced that myself. We go on our own way and we kind of separate ourselves from God. Sometimes deliberate. Sometimes it's just circumstances that lead us away. And the circumstances of life can be pressing. And that we can focus on those. We can make some really poor life decisions that separate us from who God is. We can lean on our own understanding and put our relationship with God on hold. And very often in those times we feel God is very distant. But he isn't. Let me tell you this morning, you may feel distant from God, but he is close to you. I want to read from James chapter 4. This is the New Living Translation, so it's slightly different, easier to understand. And the book of James is all about him writing to the early church and giving instructions on how to live a fulfilled Christian life. He was answering the questions that I'm asking today. What happened to me, and where is God in all this stuff that I'm going through? And just as you listen to this, you can begin to allow the Holy Spirit to just maybe reveal some truth to your heart. That's what we need. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He reveals the word of God to us. He helps us in our self-assessment process because he brings truth to who we are. What is causing the quarrels and fights among you? Don't they come from the evil desires that war within you? You want what you don't have, so you scheme and kill to get it. You are jealous of what others have, but you can't get it, so you fight and wage war to take it from them. Yet you don't have what you want because you don't ask God for it. Even when you ask, you don't get it because your motives are all wrong. You only want what will give you pleasure. You adulterers, don't you realize that friendship with the world makes you an enemy with God? I say it again, if you want to be a friend of the world, you make yourselves an enemy of God. Separate. Do you think the scriptures have no meaning? They say that God is passionate, that the spirit he has placed within us should be faithful to him, and he gives grace generously. As the scripture says, God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. So humble yourselves before God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Come close to God and God will come close to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, for your loyalty is divided between God and the world. So there's a lot of stuff in there. He talks about adultery. So when he's talking about it, he's saying that when we are living our lives, we are living in the culture of the world, that we are following world processes, that we are following our own thinking, we're following our own desires, and we are not following what God has laid down for us. He says, you've got to recognize that. You've got to do a bit of self-assessment here. Are you far away from God because you are trusting other things than God? Because you are placing your faith in the things of this world and not the things that God has already given to us? It says God is passionate. And when God's living in our heart, there is a battle going on because God wants to be, he wants to be king of our hearts. He wants to be Lord of our lives. And so we do get this internal battle because God does not let us go easily. He keeps hold of us. He's all the time, he's encouraging us to draw near to him. Theologically, we know that God never changes. He loves us unconditionally and has plans for our lives. We know that he wants to give us more than we can imagine or think. We know when we put God into things that seem impossible become possible. That's the heart of God. This is the God that we love and worship. He wants to place so much into our lives. He wants to really be the center of all we do so that he can work in us to transform us. And when we go through hard times, he is our peace. He is our joy. He is our sustaining strength because we're trusting in him. If we start to trust in other things, then we do get a little bit separated from God. And we do get this disconnect between our theology. God loves us, he never leaves us. We know all that stuff, don't we? We read it, we sing it. We know it all. But sometimes the reality of our situation is different than what we actually understand. There's a disconnect between our theology and the way that we live. And so God is all the time, he's trying to connect the two. He's trying to bring what we understand about him into reality in our lives. But we've got to draw near to him. We've got to give him opportunity to minister to us. So what's going on? So sometimes we have to trust God's timing, which can sometimes feel like abandonment because he's not doing what we want as quickly as what we want. And we do pray for our families, don't we? We pray for things that we want God to do, and we can get frustrated with that because you're going, you're not doing it, God. And there are times when those are times of testing where we have to stand on what we believe. When you've done everything else, stand firm on the word of God and let God work it out. And there may be things going on like that in your lives where we have stood on the word of God and we're going, this is what I'm going to put my trust and my faith in, and I'm not moving from this position. I don't know how long it's going to take, but I'm trusting you in this. In these circumstances, God sustains us because we trust in him. God gives us what we need because we're asking for the right things. We're putting our faith in him, and he is doing something in us. And the thing about our walk with God is sometimes we don't recognize what God is trying to do in us. And we go through hard times, and maybe he's trying to do something with us. He's trying to just maybe knock some edges off. Maybe he's trying to do something miraculous in our lives. Maybe he's trying to grow some fruit in us, because that's what he's doing, trying to do all the time. But we've got to be patient, and we've got to be connected with him at all times. But what James was describing is different from this. We see that some of the early churches were distancing themselves from God and needed a little bit of self-assessment, because their strengths and weaknesses were evident before God. They were trusting in the things of this world. And what it says is, if you start to trust in the things of this world, you are an enemy with God. In other words, you're not on God's side, because you're doing your own thing. And the one thing that really grates on God's heart is pride. Pride, I can do it. I don't need you. I'm okay, God. I'll make it through on my own. And that makes it very difficult for God to bless us. But I want you to understand, if whatever you're going through, God is close to you. You might not feel it, but the word tells us that he is close to you. When we're born again, the Spirit of God lives in us. And I said before, James just underlines the fact that our God is passionate about who we are. He's passionate about this relationship with us. He does not want to lose us, and so he keeps working in our lives. If we are in a marriage with God, then there should be nobody else involved. That means that our thoughts, our actions, the way we live should demonstrate that God is part of who we are. And sometimes we're not. Sometimes we feel very separated from God. James says we've simply got to repent. That means we recognise what we're doing, we repent and humble ourselves before God. And then when temptation comes our way, we submit to God. We do the God thing. We consider God in the things that we do, the things that we say, our expectations. We consider God, we put God into it. And then trust him, stand on our faith, and when we do that, the enemy will flee. You know, so often we blame the devil for things, but we have the answer, and that is to humble ourselves and put our trust in God. When we do that, when we do the right thing, the enemy will flee from us, because he hasn't got access to our hearts. We've closed a door to him. In verse 8, come close to God, and God will come close to you. What a great promise that is. His consistency is reaching into our hearts. He wants to indwell us. He wants to live in our heart. If you put me first, if you attach to the vine, put away earthly things, live a clean, a holy life that glorifies God, he will draw near to you. The lines of relationship are reopened, and God will be enable, or this will enable God to actually bring blessings into our lives. See, when we're disobedient to God, it kind of shuts the door to God, and it means he can't do the things he wants to do. If you can picture that, when I'm disobedient, when I do my own thing, I'm shutting a door to God, and he can't give me what he wants to give to me. But when I open the door, when I draw near to him, it gives him access to my heart and my life, and it means he can begin to pour into me what he's got for me. He begins to bless my heart. The great thing about God is full of grace. He's full of, so no matter what, and we say this, don't we, no matter what we've done, no matter what we think, no matter how we've behaved, there is always a way back to who God is. There is always a way back to Him. His grace is sufficient for each of us. And so we've just got to be in that place where we go, I need your grace, Lord. I need you to work in me now. I recognize that what I've done isn't right. Forgive me. Can I draw near to you now? And His promise is He'll draw near to you. The challenge, as ever with the Word of God, is are you ready to self-assess? If you're feeling that God is distant from you, are you prepared to self-assess? Are you prepared to look at your life and work out what's gone wrong? And to be humble, that just means I've got it wrong and I need you to work in my life. I've got it wrong and I need some help here, Lord. And His grace, because He's a gracious God. Because He loves us more than we can imagine or think, He just pours His love into our heart. He draws close to us and He begins to work in our lives again. There is never a point, I don't believe, when we can't come back to God, where we can't close that gap that we feel that we have with Him. But it's up to us to do something. I think God is always sat right next to us and He's willing and ready to come in. But we've got to make that first step. He says, we've got to draw near to Him. We've got to do the right thing. We've got to put our faith into action. We've got to read the Word. We've got to be obedient to what He's saying. And when we do that, God is right there next to us and wants to live in us. We've been given the Holy Spirit. What a great gift that is that helps us in this process. The Holy Spirit pours the love of God into our hearts. And maybe this morning you are not experiencing the love of God, but the Holy Spirit will work that. He does that. He pours the love of God into our hearts. So I don't know how you're feeling this morning in your relationship with God, but it's so important that we are close to Him, that we draw close to Him and He draws close to us so that He can work in us. If we're going to be effective as a believer, if we're going to be effective as a church, then we've got to be close to God. We've got to be in that place where God is blessing us, where the people who we are mixing with can recognize the blessing of God in our lives just by looking at us and observing what we do and how we do it, how we deal with the stress of life. It has such a big impact on those around us. But we've got to be close to God so that He can give us everything that we need. God's not far away from you. Never be discouraged with God. He wants to draw near to you this morning. Thank you. Excuse me.